We're going to open our Bibles to Matthew, chapter number 14. Matthew 14. I've thoroughly enjoyed our time in the book of Matthew. I've been stretched as I've studied through this book to try to, when I preach, I'm not so concerned with do I have a message. As much as I am, do I have God's message? And am I preaching what God has said here in this passage of Scripture? And there are times that has been a challenge. And honestly, looking ahead in the book, there are some places, pray for me, there's some places that I'm going, okay, Lord, you're going to have to teach me some things and help me here. But it's been a blessing to me just to dig in and look at some of the revelation of Jesus Christ as not only the Son of God and God in the flesh and the Son of Man, but as the promised Messiah that would come and rule and reign over His people. And so that's been a blessing. Last week, we looked at the first 12 verses of chapter 14 and the account of Herod and killing John the Baptist, the execution of John the Baptist, and the reason for that. And we go straight from that into Jesus and one of the greatest miracles, really, of His earthly ministry, one of the most prominent, one of the most well-known. But there's some truths here that I think will be of help to us this morning as we consider them. Matthew chapter 14, if you're there, would you stand with me? We'll begin reading in verse number 13, and we'll read down through verse 21. It says, "And when Jesus heard of it," that's heard of John's execution. "When Jesus heard of it, He departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed Him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and He healed their sick. And when it was evening, His disciples came to Him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals.' But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart. Give ye them to eat.' And they say unto Him, 'We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And He said, 'Bring them hither to Me.' And He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, He blessed and brake and gave the loaves to His disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat." That's very important. They did all eat and were filled. "And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children." Our Father, we ask that as we look into Your Word this morning, that You would open our understanding, reveal to us truth, maybe that we haven't seen before, or maybe truth that we know and just need to be reminded of. But Lord, I pray that You would convict us of areas of failure, that You would challenge us, that You would strengthen and comfort hearts. And Lord, I pray that we would leave here today with a greater view of Christ and what You can do. Lord, help us, as we sang a moment ago, to ponder anew what the Almighty can do. Lord, speak through Your Word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you be seated? Thank you for standing. I really appreciate it. This miracle that Jesus has performed is recorded for us in multiple Gospels, this feeding of the 5,000. We find here that this isn't just five, we call it the feeding of the 5,000, but it's actually, it says there, if you notice, it was 5,000 men beside women and children. And so we don't know exactly how many people there were, but if there's 5,000 men, I think there were more than 2 or 3 women. I've heard someone say before, if there were 5,000 men, you'd probably have 5,000 women and about 10,000 kids. Now, I don't know if that's true, but we could be looking at upwards of 20,000 people, but we know that there were more than 5,000 there. There's a lot of people there. And Jesus here miraculously takes five loaves. We're not even talking, you know, big loaves of bread. We're talking about five loaves, maybe enough to feed five people or something like that, two small fishes. And here he takes them and breaks them and distributes to the multitude. And it's amazing to me that I mean, if I can't even imagine trying to take five loaves of bread and divide it small enough for thousands of people. I mean, you would think that that would result in about the size of a crumb, you know, maybe per person or something like that. But his disciples distribute it. And it says that they all did eat and were filled. And I've even heard people say before, well, you know, it was more a miracle of the filling than the miracle of the multiplication. Because after all, I mean, how could you get so filled up on such little food? But what's interesting about it is when he comes to the end, they take up the fragments, the remainder, and there's 12 baskets full. In other words, there's more left over when Jesus is done than what they started with. And so Jesus has multiplied this thing, and he feeds them. And oftentimes when we look at this passage of Scripture, we emphasize the miracle itself and what Jesus did, and certainly that's a right thing to do because it's there in the Scripture. But I think it's important when we study the Scriptures to consider not just the thing that is written and the event that is recorded, but the context of it. I think context matters. Jesus, everything he does is very precise and intentional. And this particular event matters not only because of what happened, and not only because of why it happened, but even I believe it matters because of when it happened. There are truths, I believe, that God wants us to hear and to learn from this particular passage of Scripture in regard to our confidence, our faith in His ability to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. I want to point out to you, and I know I've already mentioned this, but I want you to think on this because it is significant, that this event happens immediately after the death of John the Baptist. John was a significant factor in Jesus' ministry. He was the forerunner to Christ. He was the one that came to prepare the way of the Lord. He prepared a people ready to follow the Lord Jesus. John was the one who baptized Jesus. The disciples of Jesus, many of them had been disciples of John first. And so John had played a significant role, and now he has not only died, but he's been executed. He's been killed by the ruler, by the king. There's persecution that's taking place that's affecting not only Jesus, but his disciples. Not only that, but I would say even on a personal level for the Lord Jesus to know that not only was this man a significant part of my ministry, but it is also his cousin. It's a relative. This is family. And so this is a very personal thing that's happened to Jesus and the disciples. This is very real. I mean, imagine if you would, someone who's been, not for Jesus so much, but for his disciples, someone who's been such an influential individual in your faith and your following of Christ, and to see them brutally murdered and persecuted for the faith, would that not shake you a little bit? Would that not cause you to kind of step back and go, man, this just got real, you know? I mean, this is some serious stuff. In addition to that, we find that Jesus and his disciples have been about busy in the work of the Lord. They've been ministering. They're weary. No doubt they're weary from the work. And in this moment, in this place, in this time, the Lord Jesus chooses to show himself strong. I'm thankful that God often, if I can use the term, I don't necessarily like the term, but I think you understand what I'm talking about. God shows up at certain times. We know God's always there. He's always present. He's always working. But when I say God shows up, I mean where he makes himself known, where he makes sure that his hand is very evident as a confirmation, as a comfort, as a reminder, as a help to us. I mean, it's often in the moments that we need him most that God is the most real to us as he shows himself strong on our behalf. And here, Jesus determines that it is in this moment of great need for his disciples, no doubt a time where their faith is maybe struggling, a little bit shaken. Maybe they feel like, I just need some time, I need a little bit of separation. Jesus says, let me show you what I can do. But I also find it interesting that he chooses to do that by first stretching his disciples, causing them to step out from what feels good or feels right in the moment and to do something for God and for others that is certainly outside of their comfort zone. And so I want to learn some lessons this morning from this passage of Scripture in regard to God's work in us and through us when we don't have enough. And that's the title of the message this morning. When we don't have enough. I want to point out to you their deficiency. The disciples had a real deficiency. They had a deficiency not only in lacking the ability to feed this multitude of people. I want you to hold your place here. Go with me, if you would, to Mark chapter number 6. We find in Mark the parallel passage to this that again sheds some light, gives us some information that Matthew doesn't necessarily record for us. The exact same event, the same things happened. And I want you to notice in verse 31 of Mark chapter 6, it says, "And he," that's Jesus, "said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." And so you get, even apart from the death of John the Baptist, you have the fact that they have been so busy in ministry, there are so many people coming and going. The needs are so great. The demands are just overwhelming them. And Jesus says, hey guys, listen, it's time for us to take a few minutes and just get apart. Just get aside for a while, get some rest, get something to eat, take a little break, recoup a little bit. And I'll say this, it's not wrong for us to take some time and recuperate and get some rest. Rest is a biblical mandate. It's something that God's told us we need to do. And sometimes you just need to take a break. And so Jesus is doing that. He says, hey guys, let's come out to this desert place. Now a desert place, there's some issues with it. Because in a desert place, you don't exactly have, you know, the most comfortable lodging. You don't necessarily have restaurants readily available. There's not necessarily a lot of food out there. But there's one thing that's going for it. There's solitude. I mean, it's kind of like the idea if you were to go out and go camping. You know, some people just love the outdoors and love the roughness of it. But I'll tell you what, the older I get, the more camping is work. You know, I like my bed. Hey, we can bring a cooler of food. Yeah, I got one of those in my house. It's called a refrigerator. You know, life's just easier. But you know what the real draw is to camping? Solitude. You get out in nature. You get away from people. Let's just be honest. Sometimes that's a nice thing. get alone with God out there in nature, and you just have some time to clear your head and to think. So Jesus says, let's go out to a desert place, a place without a lot of resources, a place without a lot of comforts. And he leads his people there, but at least it's a place of solitude, right? No, not this time. Not this time. Because it says in verse number 32, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately. They did this. They didn't want to tell anyone where they were going. Verse 33, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and notice this, and outwent them, and came together unto him. In other words, they depart by ship to go find some solitude. By the time the ship gets to land, there's already a multitude of people there waiting for him. So now he's in a place with little resource, not many comforts, and all the problems of the multitudes and the people. That's where he's at. And here's the amazing thing about this, and I just love this about my Lord. In verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them. I mean, think about this. Would you not be, even if you're a very kind and generous person, sometimes you just need a break. Physically, there have been a lot of demands. You haven't even had time to stop and eat. Emotionally, you're drained. Listen, ministering to people, it's not easy. I mean, it drains you. It wears on you. And then you've got this personal issue with the loss of John the Baptist. I mean, man, I just need some time. But Jesus sees these people, and he doesn't say, listen, guys, another day. No, he's moved with compassion. He sees them, and he cares about them. And it says he was moved with compassion toward them because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. And then it says this, and he began to teach them many things. Now, Matthew said that he healed them. So apparently now he's teaching and he's healing. He's doing everything he was doing in the cities. Now he's in a solitary place, but it's not really solitary. And he's doing the same things. Now, it's one thing for us to look at this and say, well, yeah, but that's Jesus. Yeah, but it wasn't just Jesus. It's also his disciples. And I can only imagine for them. I mean, here they have deficiency. They're lacking physical strength. They're tired and hungry. They're lacking emotional capacity. And they're lacking material provisions. What do they have? Not much. They're weary. And they're incapable. They're incapable of doing what Jesus is going to tell them to do. Go back to Matthew 14, if you would. Have you ever noticed that sometimes God calls us to do things that we are not capable of doing? When we lack the resources and the ability to do what he wants us to do, he's going to say to them, look at verse number 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place and the time is now past. I love that statement. The time is past. Jesus, enough is enough. And then they say to him, send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy them victuals. Just send them away. By the way, I think the disciples are recognizing not just their need, but the need of the people. Jesus, we're weary, we're tired, we're hungry, but so are they. It's late. They don't have anything to eat. Can't we just dismiss? Let everybody go home. We'll meet again tomorrow. And look at what Jesus says in verse number 16. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart give ye them to eat. He didn't even say, I'll take care of that. Don't worry about it, guys. I'll take care of it. He looks at his disciples who are worn out, weary, ready to be done, ready to take a break. And he says, hey, why don't you go ahead and feed these 5,000 plus people? I mean, sometimes, does God not do this to us? Sometimes does he not call us to do things that we look at and we say, how? How am I supposed to do that? Lord, how can I keep ministering? How can I keep pouring into people? How can I, let's just be honest, how can I forgive this person again? I don't have what it takes. How can I give more to missions or to this special project? I don't have what I need to have to give. How can I possibly be involved in the fulfillment of the Great Commission and the furtherance of the gospel around the world? Lord, I don't have what it takes. I don't have the experience. I don't have the training. I don't have the money. I don't have the energy. I don't have, Lord, whatever it is, whatever you're calling me to do, I don't have enough. Verse 17, they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus, don't you know we don't have enough? They had a deficiency. Records for us in the book of John that he said, that 200 penny worth of bread would not be sufficient. Now, a penny in those days, this isn't like a U.S. dollar currency penny. No, a penny was basically a day's wage. That was kind of the standard day's wage, was a penny. So you figure this 200 days worth of work. That's like 40 weeks. That's a lot of money, right? How much money do you make in 40 weeks? Okay, everything you earn in 40 weeks, that's not enough to feed these people. Jesus, I just don't have it. I don't have it. But he said, give ye them to eat. So they have this deficiency, but then we also see that there's a demand. And the demand is this: sometimes serving God, the work of the Lord, has to take priority over our own needs. I mean, Jesus obviously himself needed some rest, but he continued to minister to people in his weariness. He saw the needs of others before his own. And by the way, this is the command of Christ, that we would put others ahead of ourselves in terms of need. That we would look beyond our own struggles, our own difficulties, and that we would keep pressing forward because there is need in the work of the Lord. The Lord's work is never done. I mean, here's the reality. When you go to bed tonight, there's a whole lot more to be done in the work of the Lord. And sometimes that has to take priority over even our own needs. It's not wrong. I already told you, it's not wrong to rest. It's not wrong to take a break. But that ought not to be the primary goal and motivation of life. You know, most people in the world, their whole life, they're living for some day that they can stop. I mean, think about it. You work 5 days because you're looking forward to the weekend. You work 40 years because you're looking forward to retirement. Throughout the year, you think, well, I just 6 more weeks and I can take a vacation. I mean, people live for when I can stop. But it's not so in the work of the Lord. Rest is just a necessary thing that needs to happen along the way so that we can be charged up to do the work. That's the purpose that we're to be living for, is the ministry, the work that God has given us to do, the needs of others, the need of the gospel. I mean, this is what we live for. And sometimes, guess what? The needs are so great, that it our own personal needs have to take a back seat for the glory of God. What mother is there that when their child wakes up in the middle of the night with a fever, throwing up, doesn't sacrifice her sleep to sit with that child because the needs of that child override her own need for rest and sleep in that moment? And folks, when we serve the Lord, I hope you understand that this thing, okay, they were feeding a multitude, but this is a picture of something much bigger. The needs that are pressing on you and on me today, the needs that you feel like I just don't have the capacity and I have other things that are more important, these things have eternal consequences. The souls of men are at stake. And sometimes that's going to require that we change the priorities of our lives. You know, in crisis moments, in emergency moments, everything changes and our priorities change. We're in the middle of an emergency. Listen, we live in a broken world, a world that is without Christ, and people all around you are not only lost and hell-bound, which they are, but they're also hurting and broken. You know what they need? They need Jesus. And you know Him. And you hold the gospel in your hands. And it might be that you and I need to reorder some things in our lives, even though they might be legitimate. But hey, this is serious business. I mean, is it not time for us to rise up and say, you know what, some things have to take priority over my desires, over my enjoyment, over my peace, even in terms of worldly things. I mean, Jesus calls us to do things and minister to people. Yeah, they didn't have what they needed, but that didn't change the fact that the people still had a need. The people still had a need, and Jesus said, listen, you do it. You give them to eat. How? And He gives them this directive. And this probably sounds cliche, but it's in the text. Verse 17, they say unto Him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. Lord, I don't have what it takes. And Jesus says, take what you have and bring it to me. Take what you do have and bring it to me. And then He performs this incredible miracle. He takes those, He blesses, He prays to His Father, blesses the food, breaks it, divides it up between His disciples, and they go on obeying the Lord. He somehow has given them the strength to do this thing, to feed the multitude. And He fills them. And I love this. I just absolutely love this. Verse number 20, listen to this. And they did all eat. Who's included in that all? Well, as far as I can tell, I mean, the text is the text, right? All means all. So apparently the multitude, 5,000 men beside women and children, but also those, that multitude is not the only people who are present there. You know who else is present there? The disciples are present there. And Jesus is present there. And they did all eat. In other words, think about this. The disciples have a need. And they're looking at it and they're saying, Jesus, can't we send the people away? I mean, think about it. They're hungry. We're hungry. They're tired. We're tired. What do you mean, give them to eat? Jesus says, give them to eat. Bring to me what you've got. So they bring it to Him. He gives it to them. And they did all eat. The multitude and the disciples. In other words, what I'm trying to say is this. In their obedience to the Lord, not only did God's grace, was God's grace sufficient to give them what they needed to do the work, but God's grace was sufficient to meet their needs as they were ministering to others' needs. And here's what happens, folks. Sometimes we become so fixated on our own needs. We say, well, I've got to do this, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do this to take care of my own life. And then, with whatever's left over, I'll go and serve God and I'll serve others. And that's not the way that God wants us to live. What we actually find is that when we obey God and we put Him and His will first and we serve others, that God is able not only to meet their needs through us, but to meet our needs as we minister. Bring them to me. They brought to Jesus the little bit that they had, and He met their needs. And it says, verse 20 again, they did all eat and were filled. They were filled. Now this, again, there's been no leisure so much as to eat. These disciples are hungry. And Jesus didn't just give them enough to say, you know, take a little bit, get just enough to have some energy, grab a few bites, you know, get that blood sugar up a little bit, and then keep going. No, no, no. He fed them to the full. He filled them. When they didn't have enough, Jesus said, here, give me what you have, and I'll use you to do something that's never been done before. And in the process, I'll meet your needs too. Have you ever thought, maybe there's something that I'm lacking? I could focus my attention on fixing that and ignoring the commandments of God, the call of God on my life. Or I can obey God and give what even at times feels like is more than I have. But I know I can trust that God's grace will be sufficient and He will fill me and He will give my needs, meet my needs, even when I don't have any more to give. The disciples needed a break. They didn't have any food, and they probably felt like they had given everything they had to give. The need was much greater than what they could handle, but it wasn't too great for Him. And I just want to challenge you this morning, when you feel like you don't have enough, take what you have and bring it to Him. And say, Lord, I'll give you what I have. And you'll find that He has enough. His grace is sufficient. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, I pray that these simple truths that we've considered this morning would just ring throughout our hearts as we consider how desperately we need You, Father. There are so many needs that go so far beyond what we can do. There are financial needs and physical needs and emotional needs and spiritual needs. And meanwhile, there's a lost and dying world all around us. And You've told us, like You told Your disciples, give ye them to eat. Lord, we're to take what we've been given. We've freely received. Now we're to freely give. And quite honestly, Father, there are times that it just feels like it's too much and we can't. But Lord, I pray that You'd help each one of us here to take what we have and give it to You. And let You do through us what we could never do ourselves. And Lord, would You use us for Your glory and for the good of others. Help us as a church even to look beyond ourselves and our own needs and desires and look to You and say yes to whatever You would desire of us. Bless in this invitation time, we pray in Jesus' name.